It's time for Firearm Friday, a podcast dedicated to bringing together the firearm industry and community. Now here's your host, from the great state of Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Chris Dover.
Welcome to Firearm Friday. I am Chris Dover, and today we're going to be having a conversation with Darren Stanley of Iron Horse Firearms, and we're going to be talking about their thumb-operated receiver and much, much more. But first, let me tell you about Sportsman's Guide. Sportsman's Guide is the go-to source for all your outdoor needs, whether it's hunting, fishing, camping. They pretty much got you covered while you're there. Don't forget the Buyers Club membership, which will save you even more on the products that you need for your outdoor adventure. We've got Darren with us today from Iron Horse Firearms. How are you, Mr. Darren?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am fine, man. I'm doing fine. So, you guys, ran into you guys at, I believe it was the, what did they call that thing? I can't even remember now. SHOT Show. Fifth floor. What was that?
That was the new showcase deal that they had up there at the top for all the new emerging companies.
Yeah, I can't even remember now. My brain's kind of fried from everything post SHOT Show. Can't even remember what they call that day. But y'all had one day that they brought in a bunch of new companies. Of course, y'all were there. So if you would, before we get into the company and the products, give us a little bit of history about you. What's a little bit of your background, and how did you get into the whole endeavor with Iron Horse Firearms here?
Absolutely. Well, if there's one thing that I love to do, it's talk about myself. So, I joined the Marine Corps. I signed the paper when I was 16. Got parental consent.
Wow.
I went to boot camp when I was 17, right after I graduated high school. But when I joined the Marine Corps, I joined as a reservist. And I spent 12 years in the Marine Corps as a reserve, an 0341 mortarman. And I spent that entire time with Charlie Company, 4th LAR. Great unit. It's in Draper, Utah. And that's how I got to meet a couple of my partners that are in Iron Horse, is we were in the same unit together.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I deployed in 2009 to the Helmand Province in Afghanistan, and that was a life changer.
I'm sure.
So, and then we got back, and then the CEO, Ryan McDonald, he joined the unit, and so I mean essentially, my new boss, you know, he was my boot at the time. And I tell you what, he was an outstanding Marine. Always willing to learn, always willing to go out of his way to help everybody in our unit. So,
mm-hmm. Right.
But now, we came up with the idea. Go ahead.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
So we came up with the idea. It was quite a few years ago. We didn't really know where to go with it, mm-hmm. at first, because it was such a strange idea. It was August of like 2014, and it was Ryan McDonald's idea. Him and Caleb Harris, two of my Marines, were sitting there at the back of the LAV, and they were talking about our Marines and rifle quals that we'd been on, different weapon systems and all that. And Ryan had this idea. He's like, well, accuracy is kind of a big issue. We always snap in and always sit there staring at a barrel for countless hours at boot camp because of trigger pull. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking, well, they've got that butterfly trigger on a M2 and for the 240. How come there's not something like that for a personal weapon on the M4 that we use? We sat there and thought about it, and I guess there isn't one. So we started drawing things up on our little write in the rain notebooks and all that, just sitting there behind the LAV on the ramp. And it really, it really didn't go anywhere for a couple of years. But eventually, we found some investors, and and got the ball rolling.
Mm-hmm. But is that when? Now, did you start the company, the Firehorse Firearms? Did you start that before you had the prototypes and before you started playing with it? Did you kind of put that in motion first, or did that come after you had something, you know, some type of prototype you were playing with?
So we had the idea, right? And then it just kind of fell stagnant for a while because, you know, we were doing our own lives and we didn't know where to go with it, like I said. So Ryan and Caleb, they ended up finding somebody that could build a prototype. And I tell you what, this thing is uglier than crap. It was just a modified regular lower receiver for the AR that they had hacked and cut and seriously put like a whittled wood grip onto.
Wow.
it was not ergonomic at all. It was extremely uncomfortable, but the concept was there, you know, with the downward pressure to release the hammer to hit the firing pin and that sort of deal. Mm-hmm. And then they called me. It was a few months later, and they said, hey, you know, start looking for people to show this to, because, you know, they'd started Iron Horse Firearms and got it going. And so we started looking around for people to talk to. And that's when we ran into James Story at Range 6. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, he's an outstanding guy. Turns out he is a Marine too.
Wow.
So of course we had an instant bond, you know, we have that brotherhood in the Marine Corps that you could run into somebody that's 80 years old and talk to them like you're in the same unit, because that's just how Marines are.
Right.
But, we went to him for, you know, just advice, be like, hey, you know, what would you do to get this thing going? How would you approach this situation? And he got us on the right path with, you know, attorneys and all that other kind of stuff. So he has been such an invaluable asset to Iron Horse.
Right. Because it is a long, drawn-out process when you're trying to innovate when it comes to, you know, designs and patents. And, you know, you got to pour over. That's where the lawyers come into play. Any idea you come up with, you've got to pour over and make sure that idea hasn't already been thought up, or, you know, somebody's filed some type of patent that's similar, and, you know, all of those different scenarios. Now, the product we're talking about, of course, that's the thumb-operated receiver. And for those out there listening, if you hop over onto IronHorseFirearms.com, you can definitely take a look at that animal. So, with the, you know, from that first prototype, with the whittled wood grip you were talking about, how many variations have there been along the way? Are there specific issues that you've run into?
There were a couple. I'd say we've got probably six or seven different types, but not all of them have made it to, you know, the actual manufacture phase. They've all just been like drawings or 3D printings, especially with that grip.
Right.
Because that's one of the big obstacles is finding that venture capital.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
When we're talking about lawyers and all that other stuff and prior artwork research and getting somebody to design it and then make us a prototype, you're talking tens of thousands of dollars right there.
Absolutely.
And as entrepreneurs, well, at first we had to put in a lot of our own money, and then we found, you know, a couple investors to really to get us going on the right track, so then we didn't have that stupid wood grip. It was a more ergonomic one that we used. And so there were a few different types. Like one of the issues that we had that we found out recently was suppressor blowback. Because normally when you hook a suppressor on there, you know, all that gas goes out the ejection port. Mm-hmm. Well, with ours, your thumb's going right in the back end of the receiver and there's a hole where the trigger comes out. We did not anticipate all of that gas coming back there because, well, we weren't thinking about having a suppressor on there.
Right.
That's one thing that's been mitigated, and with a different design. So, And another one that I really want to squash right now is there's a lot of talk on the internet after SHOT Show and some Instagram videos of it breaking your thumb. Now, I don't know where people are getting these ideas of firing a rifle with your thumb is going to break your thumb.
I haven't seen anything on that, so that's interesting.
It's crazy.
I've seen a lot of, and I wanted to get into that here later on. I've seen a lot of the, why does the world need this? Which happens with anything innovative that comes out. You've got people that immediately jump to that. I'm guilty of that myself. But yeah, I haven't seen the whole thumb breaking thing. So,
that's
interesting.
Yeah, I don't know why they just said, you know, it'll break your thumb. I mean, the amount of force required to do that. I mean, you're talking about a 5.56 round here. It's basically like a 22, and you got a buffer spring, and all that recoil. It's going right into your shoulder, just like a regular firearm. Mm-hmm. Your hand follows with it. So I mean, that's, and you know, it's a difficult concept for people to grasp. Mm-hmm. You know, they see something like that, they're used to shooting a different way. So I could see how they would be skeptical, and that's fine. I love skeptics. Right. I love them. Don't get me wrong. We just gotta put one in their hands, so then people go, "Oh my gosh, this actually does make sense."
Right. Now, a couple of things that I noticed, and I did get to fondle them a little bit there at SHOT Show. It's awkward. I mean, we're used to pulling a trigger with our fingers for how many years now? So it's definitely awkward. And you know, again, I go back to guilty as charged with, you know, why does the world need this? But then the more that you stop and look at things and think about things, you kind of understand the purpose a little bit at that point. One thing that I did notice, you had one there that had it was an amazing break in everything as far as the trigger. The other one, not so much. So were those, was that a different version, a different model, or had there been some type of other modification done? What was the story behind the difference in those two?
So the difference in the, well, trigger pull, if you will, for lack of a better term, is we're experimenting with different springs, because usually, you know, we pull the trigger with our index finger, whereas with the TOR, you're depressing the lever with your thumb. Mm-hmm. Your thumb is a stronger digit than your index finger. So, you know, trying out different springs, seeing if a heavier poundage would be more efficient or a lighter one, just kind of trying to find that average sweet spot for pressure on that trigger pull.
Gotcha. Okay. So that's something that, and I'm guessing springs and stuff, that's something you guys could easily play with and easily adjust, I'm guessing, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's also something, you know, when we get into different products in the future, when we talk about that, that's something that we're working on as well, as different ways to adjust that poundage.
Right, and that would be, yeah, adjustable would be cool for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that design on the inside, I don't want to get too technical on things, you know, and you give away your secrets, of course, but I'm assuming on the inside, is it very serviceable for, without getting into too many details, is it very serviceable for the end user out there if they wanted to change those springs?
Absolutely. It's fairly similar to standard AR triggers, how they are right now. It of course is our proprietary trigger system. Mm-hmm. It had to be in order to get that hammer release going the right way, you know, with different angles of levers and all that. So, but it's essentially the same thing. It's all just sitting right down there in the lower receiver, held in with a couple pins.
Gotcha. Now, the receiver itself, are they, they're not modified receivers. I mean, looking at them, obviously they're milled. Are they milled to your specification, I'm guessing?
Correct. So they come out of block aluminum. Mm-hmm. They're billeted lower receivers. Because if you were to take like an 80% lower that's already out there, well, where a conventional trigger goes, there's an empty hole, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Because that's where your trigger's going. But with ours, that's where our safety is.
Okay.
So it has to be from billeted aluminum. And for our trigger system, it has to be with our lower and the grip, because in order to make it all work, we tried making it so that there were, you know, options available with products that are already out there. But it's kind of difficult to have your thumb in that kind of place and use something that's already out there when everything else is designed a completely different way.
Right.
So we just had to completely redesign it.
Well, I mean, where your thumb's at is where that grip screw traditionally would go. Am I wrong in that?
Right.
What it appears. So it's like, how would you attach the grip? And you obviously attach it a different way.
Exactly.
Now, the safety, that is an ambi safety I'm looking at, correct?
It is. Yes, sir, it is.
Which is interesting. It's like a slide-style safety?
Just like they have on the shotguns, because we wanted it to be familiar to people. We all have a certain way that we shoot ARs. You flick the safety with your thumb, you pull the trigger with your finger, right? Well, all we did was flip it. We just reciprocated the process. So now you're firing with your thumb and pushing the safety with your index finger. Mm-hmm. We figured that would be a fairly simple concept for people to wrap their head around as they're learning this new weapon system. It's just like with any other weapon system that you fire. If you jump on the M250 Cal or you jump on a 240 Bravo, you're going to have to go through a little bit of training adjustment to properly understand that firearm. Well, just like with ours, if you're a disabled shooter or you're focusing more on accuracy, it's going to take a little bit of adjustment, but it's going to be worth it.
You know, I didn't think about the whole disabled aspect, but you know, I certainly could see some application for this.
Oh, absolutely.
In that realm, you got a lot of people out there that shoot with their feet and all kinds of crazy stuff that you know, when you're disabled like that, I guess you learn to do it however you can do it. So, and speaking to the safety, another thing I think that's interesting about this is the way that trigger is designed. It's sort of its own safety, right?
It is. The way that it's recessed into the grip is a safety factor that we designed into it.
Because I mean, it would be. You know, you've got your traditional safety and your traditional trigger, and we talked about this on the show with a company called Trigger Safe quite a few weeks ago, and they make a little product that basically covers the trigger guard, the trigger, and goes over the trigger guard.
Okay.
And one of the pushes was that for that particular product, that was also one that I was in the mindset of, why does the world need this? And as we talked, I began to understand that, you know, especially if you're talking military application, law enforcement application, or even hunting application, you know, you're bulked up, you've got gear, you've got other things going on, and you've got that rifle on a sling. And, you know, how easy was it be? Yes, the safety is on. You know, you've got the safety on. But in moving around and if you're hunting and, you know, jumping creeks or whatever you're doing, that safety get bumped off and a piece of gear get inside the trigger guard. So with
the
with the thumb system you've got going on here, that makes that really difficult, not only to probably click that safety off the way your slide safety is designed, but then the odds of anything getting up there to the trigger is going to be very slim as well. So, yeah, I mean, kudos on that. I think that it's definitely a safety-oriented product in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I was diddy-bopping around in the Marine Corps with our plate carriers on. And, you know, you got stuff all over on the front, or you're getting down in the prone, and you go to flick your safety off, and lo and behold, it's been off. And you don't know for how long. And just imagine if something would have bumped it. Or, you know, you got your pen flares that you hang off of you, and they get caught inside your trigger guard and things like that. There's stuff going inside of that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more difficult with the TOR to have that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, with applications as far as the style of shooting and stuff like that, Any drawbacks? I mean, I think we talked about at SHOT Show some of the potential applications for long range and that sort of stuff. But as far as, you know, fast follow-ups and you know, fast shots, if you're talking about the competition world maybe or something like that, what are your thoughts on those types of uses?
Well, our thoughts are definitely that it is made more for the longer range deal. Of course, by no means is it not capable of being used for shorter range engagements like house clearing, you know, CQB, or those quick engagements. And if you think about, even if you're engaging at a short distance of 50 to 100 meters, trigger pull still affects the way that you impact that target. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're standing or kneeling or sitting, and you hurry up and pull your rifle up, you have one less thing to worry about as you begin to engage that target. Or even if it's just a 200 meters, which is still a relatively short distance. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to worry about the pad of your index finger being too far in or too far out, and you can just jump on that trigger with your thumb and depress it, you can be sloppy as all get out, left, right, middle, forward, back, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to be pulling any rounds. Mm-hmm. One less thing to worry about.
Right. And that does make that makes total sense. You know, and the motion that you're using too, especially if you're talking a traditional curved trigger. You know, you've got a situation where people will ride that high and then they'll ride it low or whatever, and because that trigger is curved, because the face of that trigger is curved, that creates a different pull each time. With yours being flat, I wouldn't think it would make much of a difference where your thumb was on that necessarily. Does your finger placement play as big a role?
It does a little bit, just in the fact that, you know, the further out you go on a lever, the easier it's going to be to use that lever as you get away from the fulcrum. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much it.
Right. Right. So that would, in a sense, it'd be even a lighter trigger pull. So for your, yeah, for your long range shots, for, you know, things of that nature, that would be even better, I would think.
Right. So. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of people will say, well, yeah, that's why we train. You know, trigger pull is a myth. Trigger pull is not a thing. And, you know, you go to the range enough and you're not going to have trigger pull issues. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry to say this, but when you get excited and your adrenaline's flowing, especially for our first responders, our police officers, or our military that's out there, yeah, you can train. But when it hits the fan, you can be off by just that much.
Right.
So if you don't have to worry about just that much, why worry about it? And a lot of these guys that are saying that about training, you know, I'm sure they've never been in a sticky situation.
Well, you know, again, we go back into the internet talk a lot of times. So you gotta take that with a grain of salt, I think.
Absolutely.
Now with the grip design that is on this, I'm curious, is that something that will change over time? I mean, is the grip angle and the thickness of the grip and all of that good stuff, is that a major factor in how it operates, or will there be thinner, more ergonomic variations coming out in the future?
That's a good question. We actually just barely made a narrower grip. Mm-hmm. We made a smaller grip. But some people like the bigger grips. So different grips are definitely on our board. The way that the angle is, that can change. Some people like more of a cant, some people like less of a cant. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of the way that it was designed at SHOT Show for our prototypes was a good middle ground. You know, we took a block of wood and modeling clay and put it in a bunch of people's hands and said, hey, how does this feel? Mm-hmm. And we took all those answers and made them into one little package. Right. And that was the result. But then, of course, after putting it on the tour and shooting it and putting rounds down range, then you can really start to feel and understand how it needs to be tweaked. So, and that's, of course, going to be personal preference to the shooter as well.
So. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it does look, you know, as far as aesthetically, and it's mostly because of the grip, right? I mean, that's one of the main things, I think, when people buy an AR. I think that's one of the first things they usually change is that grip, something, you know, more to their liking. So that's why I mentioned that. I think that's in people's minds. But yeah, the design it looks weird off of a rifle. But I'm on the side and I'm actually looking at a rifle, and it doesn't look that much different than a traditional lower receiver at that point.
Right.
So I don't remember if you guys had. Did y'all have just the receivers at SHOT Show, or did y'all actually have a rifle there?
We had a complete rifle because we had actually shot it at Alliance Week.
Oh, okay.
Just a couple of days prior.
Gotcha.
You know, at the pop-up preview on the fifth floor, we had one lower and a complete rifle along with our shotguns. But we put like 1,300 rounds through that one rifle. Yeah, like 110 people shot it. There were people talking all over at Alliance Week up at the clubhouse. Hey, you got to go check out this new thumb trigger idea. It's crazy weird. Like even Frank Maloney from Renaissance Firearms Instruction, he was on season 4 of Top Shot. Well, he came by the booth and he loved it.
Yeah.
He came and put some rounds down range, and I could just see the wheels turning in his head there at Alliance Week, and he's, you know, he wanted to put one in his school, so he's got a school in Long Island, so he wants to instruct people on how to use it. So
yeah, I think that'd be a good thing, and I think for a couple of reasons. I mean, first of all, that's going to get you guys excellent feedback on, you know, potential changes and modifications and things like that moving forward. But also, I think that, you know, when we were talking about, you know, potentially, you know, a three-gun type competition use or some type of a more rapid-fire use, it's definitely going to take some training with this thing.
Absolutely.
You know, we've got centuries, literally centuries of doing it one way, and this this proposes a whole new way of doing it. But yeah. I think that, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just curious, because I did not know the veteran background behind Iron Horse Firearms. But I would think that you guys, all coming from that background, from that military background, has that helped curb some of the bad press, as it would be, you know, against this product?
That's a very good question. In some cases, yes, and in some cases, no.
Okay.
For the most part, a lot of people, they'd see Iron Horse Firearms, and they don't see that connection. Mm-hmm. That us original three that came up with the idea are Marines. And the reason why we chose Iron Horse is because 4th LAR, we're Iron Horse Marines.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so we used our old unit as our new company. And you'd think that people, once they see, you know, hey, a bunch of infantry Marines came up with this idea to help make you a better shooter and to help with disabled shooters, they'd be like, yeah, that's a good idea. But of course, again, they're skeptics, and that's just fine.
Sure.
Because once these really come out, because we're still in the manufacturing phase, of course, once these come out and people feel them and you get one in your hands, you can feel the difference when you shoot the rifle. Just holding it is completely different. Just looking at it is completely different. But when you put rounds down range and have effects on target, you will see the improvement in your shot grouping.
Right. Yeah, and like I said, I could attest to the one that you had changed the springs on there at SHOT Show. It was awkward. You know, I've got to admit that part, because I'm just simply not used to it. But outside of that, I mean, the feel, the break, just the amount of pressure that it required, and the feel of the break and everything, you know, it was just, yeah, I mean, it was great. I mean, it was as good, if not better than a lot of the, you know, two-stage match triggers out there that you see.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's funny that you brought up that, you know, for how many centuries have we been shooting one way? And so, of course, you know, people are going to look at it with skepticism. Mm-hmm. But when the wheel was invented, it was a round stone, right?
Right. Wasn't a good year back then, I don't think.
No, that was not a good year. Firearms have been improved upon throughout the years. The wheel has been improved upon throughout the years. This isn't reinventing the wheel. This isn't, you know, something to completely replace all the other firearms. Mm-hmm. It's just an improvement in one area for right now.
Right.
The only way to get better is to try something new and do something different. Mm-hmm. And when was the last time we had something new and different in the firearms industry that wasn't just a different style of foregrip or a different buttstock or a different scope?
Sure. Yeah. No, I completely agree. I mean, that's what it's. I don't know. I don't want to say I feel sorry for you, but I definitely feel for you, as I do with. And I've seen a lot of cool innovations at SHOT Show. And at the same time I was seeing these innovations, there was people out there whining that there was no innovation. And the same people that whine that there's not any innovation will turn around and scoff at anybody that tries to innovate anything. It's I don't know. It's danged if you do and danged if you don't sometimes, I think.
That's okay. That's human nature. And if you want to win, you've got to be positive and take those negative comments and thoughts and turn it around to make something better out of what you've developed. Because, right. I mean, you can't win them all, and that's sure. Fine. As long as we believe in it, which we do, because we go to the range all the time as Marines. We're all proficient shooters. We know about our product that we made because we designed it to be a certain way, and so we love it.
Right.
And if we love it, we know that other people will love it.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that you hit on something there as well with the lost my train of thought there a little bit. That happens. But with the talking about the military, military use and some of the different firearms and things used in the military, conventional, you know, deviation, I should say, from a conventional trigger system is not uncommon, right? With a lot of your military applications, I know you mentioned a couple of guns specifically.
Yeah. That's how we came up with the idea,
right.
Was because of those other variations that have already happened.
Right. So while this is new and innovative, it's not really. It's just somebody said, hey, let's put this into a different platform, basically.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you even have, I even saw them at SHOT Show, they have butterfly triggers that you can attach to a regular AR.
Sure.
You know, it's literally a butterfly trigger. But they're awkward, and they're in the open. There's no safety factor to them, you know what I mean? Not like not like our proprietary lower, where it's all part of one lower receiver.
Right. So. Right. Now, with you mentioned shotguns and some other things. What else? Do you guys do other stuff besides just the tour?
We do. We have a new type of shotgun. It's a magazine-fed pump-action shotgun.
Okay.
I tell you what, it's in the AR style. This thing's pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
it holds six in the magazine, and we've got a shorter barrel, which is the Entry 12, and the longer barrel, which is the Sentry 12. And it breaks down shotgun style like an AR does. You know, you just remove a couple pins, and you remove the upper from the lower. These things are awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at that Sentry 12 now over there on, again, if you're listening over there on IronHorseFirearms.com, go over there and look at those for sure. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And that is pump action.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Very stylish. Has almost a... I don't know, almost an HK look to it, doesn't it?
A little bit, yeah.
Now, It's pretty much proprietary design.
It is
on that. Okay. Okay. Aluminum.
As you can see, we're.
Go ahead.
It's a poly. It's poly.
It is poly. Okay. Okay. It looked poly, but I didn't want to assume. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very, very freaking cool. Now, as far as
we're into different stuff, we've got a proprietary shotgun, proprietary Tor, and mm-hmm. We're into different things. But as long as they're better, we're all for it.
And that's good. That's good. I mean, that plays right into really kind of plays into the innovation part a little bit more. I mean, you see a lot of companies out there that, they'll take the AR receiver, they'll take this particular receiver, that particular receiver, right? And they'll build on it, they'll add their rails, and they'll mill the upper, they'll mill the lower, they'll do this or do that, and change up the looks and that sort of thing. But to have something that is completely belongs to you, I mean, that's an accomplishment, I think.
Well, thank you.
That definitely is a pretty shotgun. Now, with the shotgun, is it, since we're talking shotguns, does it accept choked, or is it what's the story with the choke on it?
Yeah, it'll take different chokes.
Okay. Very cool. And being a pump, it's going to be fairly reliable. Whether, that's, with a pump, magazine fed pump though, that's a new, I don't know, I don't want to say it's new, but I know you're seeing a lot of those over the last year or so come into the market. In designing this one and getting this one out, is there a reason for that? That it's they haven't come around beforehand? Is there something kind of difficult with the action and the way it works and all of that has to be just right?
Well, this one was designed by Metropolis Design. Mm-hmm. And they're the same company that designed the thumb-operated receiver.
Okay.
And so we licensed this shotgun because we saw that as we were, exchanging ideas. And we said, yeah, this goes right along the avenue that we want to go down, mm-hmm. this sort of innovation again.
Right.
So we took that on board to market it. And the whole purpose behind it is reliability and ease of use. Mm-hmm. Ergonomics, just like the Tor. When you're talking shotgun use, if you have the pump action, you have a magazine fed, just like an AR, it's easy to go through weapons failure drills. Mm-hmm. If you have a failure to feed or a failure to fire with a shotgun, well, tap, rack, bang, right? You can do that with the magazine on the shotgun. Mm-hmm. And if you've got one stuck in there, you can ram it down like with your T handle on the AR with the pump grip. So different things like that. You have different options for reliability.
Right. And it's a very streamlined design too. So again, I mean, if anybody out there listening, I encourage you to jump over there and check this dude out, because it. I don't think it looks like any other of the definitely doesn't look like any of the other magazine fed shotguns that I've looked at. It's interesting for sure. Now with the I don't know with the shotgun, with the Tor, with all the products that you guys make, do people come to you directly for those orders and stuff, or is there a distribution process? How's all that currently work?
So right now we are looking for other dealers, to put our firearms into the stores. Firearms are a lot like shoes. People want to go into the shoe store, hold the shoe, try it on, look at it before they buy it. They don't really want to go online and do that. But of course you can go to ironhorsefirearms.com and purchase a weapon, which we're doing, our pre-order right now until they're finished being manufactured. We have a dealer's program on there. You just click the link. It's the first one on the site. It'll school you up on our dealer's program. Which if you want to know right now, we have a great dealer's program because our MSRP is the minimum advertised price. every nice. What we sell our firearms for, everyone else sells them for. There's no reason for a customer to want to come to us directly mm-hmm. instead of helping out our dealers. You right. know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so yeah, we want to protect the healthy margins in our products, and we want everybody to win.
Yeah.
And that's why we decided to do it that way.
And I really like that. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, supporting that local gun shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it gets aggravating at times when you go into a local gun shop and, you know, they're $20, $30, $50, $80, you know, more expensive. Because at some point in most people's minds, at some point, okay, $20 or $30 to buy it at the local gun shop to support the little guy is not that bad. You get up into mm-hmm. The difference in some of these, you know, in these companies and the prices that you see versus, you know, their price. You know, it really, I don't know, it's a lack of respect, I guess, for those local gun shops.
I would think so.
Yeah, and I just, yeah, I don't like that. And I think a lot of other people feel the same way. So, yeah, it's great to know that you've got that program out there for dealers. So if there are any dealers listening, I mean, definitely they need to jump over there and see what you guys have to offer in that realm. Because, you know, I think just looking at the shotgun here, and I'm looking at the one in FDE, of course, because, you know, FDE is the new black. But with, you know, looking at that and then looking at the Tor, I mean, with both of these, and I know this from experience with that Tor at SHOT Show, you sort of have to play with it a little bit. You know,
yeah.
And I'm sure the shotgun's the same way. I mean, it's you get that in somebody's hands, and you know the eyes are going to light up. I think they're really going to experience how cool it is. It being poly, and I guess as far as, I mean, if you think about it, a lot of your hunting shotguns are even poly nowadays, or at least a large percentage of the components are. So was there anything to worry about with shotguns in that nature when you're dealing with a shotgun and you're dealing with poly?
Absolutely not. I mean, you look at Glock's lower receiver mm-hmm. on their pistols, and you know they got that poly grip. Everything where all the firing happens, of course, is metal. All the action's metal. What it does do is it gives you a lot more of a mobile and lighter mm-hmm. shotgun to
right.
use, especially that entry 12, you know, for CQB, for police officers having that in their arsenal for SWAT and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. A lighter shotgun is, they don't want to have to worry about carrying that around. Once you start adding on all your body armor, your rounds of ammo, your water, things like that, sure. if you got a light weapon, that really helps.
Yeah, ounces do become pounds, so you definitely have to be aware of that. And you're right. I mean, military application, law enforcement application, those guys are, you know, what, 80, 100, 150 pounds of mm-hmm. of gear a lot of times, just depending on the scenario. So
even home defense, you know, I mean, who wants That's to true. Pick up their grandpa's heavy double-barreled shotgun when they can pick up a reliable magazine-fed pump action mm-hmm. that weighs a quarter of the amount, and they can clear their house and make sure that their family's safe?
Sure, sure. And, yeah, and I didn't think about that, but, you know, shotgun is a very popular, you know, home defense mm-hmm. firearm. So, I mean, and, you know, pump would be, you know, over semi-auto with having to worry about potential ammunition problems, you know, feed problems due to ammunition and stuff like that. Pump is definitely the way to go. Now, I mean, I am curious about something with this, that the shotgun, and I've got some assumptions, but I'm not going to assume. Instead, I'm going to ask the question. With the shorter shells, I mean, these are chambered in, what, 2 3/4?
Yes.
And so with the shorter shells, are you able to use those in any way, like the little mini shells?
I haven't tried that.
Okay. Just curious. I mean, with the pump action, I could see where it could be possible. But I've never heard of anybody trying those in a magazine fed. So most of the people that are using those are using them in a tube fed design.
Well, I mean, the whole purpose of, you know, that pump is, again, you can use less than lethal rounds, mm-hmm. and you can use shells that aren't as powerful. Right. So, I mean, you don't have to worry about with a semi-automatic shotgun if it's going to cycle or not, because right. you're doing the cycling.
Right, exactly. So with that, it looks like, Darren, we're sort of up against the clock here. So if you would, run through it one last time and let everybody know where they can go check out all the stuff you guys have, how to get in touch with you, that sort of thing.
Yep, absolutely. You can check us out at ironhorsefirearms.com. Again, we got the dealer's program on there. You know, you can buy a demo 50% off and showcase it for a year. You can buy a unit 50% off just for resale. Or if you have a range, you can get two at 50% off for the same thing. Wow. And that's a great way for, if you're uncertain about these new products, you know, you can try them out. That's the whole point. We want people to want to try this, and we don't want it to break the bank for you. Mm-hmm. And all of our firearms come pre-treated with Seal 1, CLP. It's an outstanding lubricant. We also have the option that you can order our firearms with Condition 1 cases and custom Iron Horse firearms foam. Those are absolutely outstanding cases as well. Or you can call 1-201-817-6152 and you can talk to somebody at sales. You want to order one for yourself, or you want to be a dealer.
Very good. And I want to thank you, Darren, for joining us today. I've learned a few things and also got to look at some cool stuff. I had yet to flip over there and actually check out the shotguns until you mentioned it, so focused more on that tour, but you guys are not a one-trick pony, so everybody needs to get over there and check out that other stuff. But thanks a lot for coming on and talking with us. I sure do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. And if I can add real quick, sure. We do offer discounts for veterans and disabled shooters.
Very cool. So. Very cool. Well, there you go. It doesn't get any better than that.
Right. Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on. It was great talking with you and informing you about what we've got here at Iron Horse.
You bet, Darren. Have a good one.
See ya.
Thank you for joining in on another Firearm Friday. Don't forget to log on to clovertech.com. There you'll find our social media links, the blog, cool swag, and more. If you'd like to help support our projects and take advantage of some extra perks, you can do so over on Patreon at patreon.com/clovertech. Have a great weekend.